Welcome now to the midday. I'm Norman Gilliland with you on a Monday, and with me, an amalgamation of persons, and we'll get to that in a moment, but the magic words would be Baltimore Consort, and one of the factors in bringing them here, the Early Music Festival, and Paul Rowe is one of the stewards of that organization. Hello again, Paul.
Hi, Norman. How are you?
I'm fine. I imagine you are keeping very busy, though. There is
an
awful lot going on.
Yeah, this is a busy week in the summer. We actually had our first concert on Saturday night, and last night we had the movie of Elizabeth I with Sarah Bernhardt.
That was quite the experience. Yeah. Right. Live music with a 1912 silent film.
Yeah. And so now we're getting ready for the concert tomorrow night, which will be 7:30 in Mills Concert Hall with a 6:30 lecture beforehand. And we're so happy to have the Baltimore Consort back. This is their third time at the Madison Early Music Festival. And it's always great to have them. They're one of the great American early music groups.
Yeah, we hear a lot of their CDs over the years at Christmas time, but also throughout the year. Baltimore Consort provides some really, original, sounds and just really exciting stuff.
Yes, definitely.
And I imagine they'll be doing some more of that. Let's see, there are how many members in the consort altogether?
There's six altogether. So there are three of us here.
Okay, so that's Larry Lipkus there. We have also Ron McFarlane and Marianne Ballard. All three of you have been with the group probably since its beginning, for a very long time anyway.
Well, I'm the rookie. I joined in 1984. Still get hazed.
Hey, well, in an early music group, I dread to think what that might be. But welcome back to all three of you, too. We'll be hearing some music from some of your CDs, but also you brought some instruments, which is going to be a lot of fun, too, hearing those live. And it's a continuously open treasure trove there, the music that you find, discover, rediscover, and recreate.
Yeah, the group was founded in 1980 basically to perform the music from Shakespeare's era, and we've branched into other repertory around that era. About 3 years ago, we decided to put together a new program of music related more specifically to the Shakespeare plays, and that's what we're performing tomorrow night. It's called The Food of Love, Songs, Dances, and Fancies for Shakespeare. So the music we're performing is related to specific plays. We actually have 10 plays from which we're taking music. Sometimes it's an actual song. Shakespeare says song, and then the words follow. But other times it may just be one reference to a song title.
I know he mentions, Greensleeves in one play.
Greensleeves, we'll do a little bit of Greensleeves, and there are many situations where just a fragment of a word comes out, but that he's clearly referencing a song that he would have known. So we have some of that as well. Shakespeare also uses some wordplay. He might reference a character like James Soundpost in Romeo and Juliet, and that's, of course, a part of a string instrument. So there's many, many references in music to Shakespeare. So we have 10 plays. We're starting with As You Like It and moving through mostly comedies, but a few of the tragedies, romances as well.
Did they actually, maybe the answer to this is obvious, but was there actually music for the performances of Shakespeare's plays in his time?
There were. We don't know always how it happened, but there were certainly composers of the era, and we're actually trying to get as early sources as possible in our program, composers like Robert Johnson, Robert Jones, who were contemporaries, and Thomas Morley,
sure,
and those were, we assume, performed in the plays as well.
What is from this collection, Watkins Ale, which is one of your...
It's a very early CD,
and
we decided to, from that, there's a piece that we're performing tomorrow night called Buffins. Buffins is actually an English corruption of the word les bouffons, which means clowns in French. The piece traveled over to England, and it was called The Buffins. And while that isn't specifically referenced in the play, we're playing it to essentially do tribute to two of the clowns, famous clowns in Shakespeare's troupe, Will Kemp and Richard Tarleton. Will Kemp was famous for his 9-day wonder, where he traveled from London to Norwich, dancing all the way, Morris dances, sometimes on his hands, maybe like going from Madison to Milwaukee.
Sorry, I missed it.
I know. I'm sorry we missed it too. These days it would have been live streamed and
that's right.
Immediately on YouTube. But so we're actually beginning the program with a tune called Kemp's Jig. And then we're ending our early set with this piece, Les Bouffons, or the Buffins.
Isn't it fun to deliberately mispronounce French words because the English did mispronounce them or repronounce them?
They mispronounce their own words.
Well, that's true.
Worcestershire sauce.
So true. So the Buffins there. And before we forget, this is all part of the Early Music Festival, the Baltimore Consorts visit, a lot of other things going on, and there is a website if you want to find out about all the various goings on.
And you can just Google MEMF, and this will be the first thing that comes up, the Madison Early Music Festival.
All right, and what is that instrument that that Marianne Ballard has brought?
Marianne's playing the treble viol. And she's going to play a little tune from Hamlet. We have a whole set at the beginning of the second half from Hamlet. When you think of Hamlet, you don't necessarily think about people bursting into song. And there really are no places where he specifies a song. But what happens in Hamlet is there is, of course, the time when Ophelia is descending into madness and begins sort of quoting random little snatches of words. And sometimes she quotes actual tunes, ballad tunes that Shakespeare would have known, and one of those is called Bonnie Sweet Robin. And so we actually have that on our program in our Hamlet set. So Marianne's going to play just part of that tune along with Ron McFarlane on lute.
And she's playing it on the viol?
She's playing it on the treble viol, right.
Bonnie Sweet Robin.
Bonnie Sweet Robin. So those two instruments, the treble viol and the lute, were major instruments of what is known as the English consort or Elizabethan consort, sometimes called the broken consort. That would be the treble viol that you just heard, the bass viol, the lute, which is really the king of the instruments from this period, the bandura and citron, which are both wire-strung instruments. And so that made the core of the Elizabethan broken consort sound.
We use that term, broken consort, a lot, but without necessarily knowing what it means.
Yeah.
So what does it, why broken?
Well, it's opposed to, say, a homogeneous consort of a bunch of recorders or viols playing with a similar sound. For example, Just to tie it to the festival, we heard two excellent concerts recently. One was four men singing unaccompanied. That would be a homogeneous sound. And last night we heard a string band, strings, violins, violas, and playing, accompanying the film you mentioned. That's also a homogeneous sound. But with the broken concert, you have a plucked, a strummed sound, you have the bowed sound. So you have a kind of mix. In some ways, it resembles like a jazz ensemble today or a country western ensemble. You have the guitars and you have a fiddle. Uh-huh. So you have sustained instruments and you have the plucked accompaniment.
Oh, there's your contrast.
There's the contrast. Aye, well, there's the rub.
There's a slutty. And now we have Ron McFarlane.
Yeah. So we're going to stay with the Hamlet set. One of, besides Will Kemp, another of the very famous clowns of Shakespeare's time was Richard Tarleton, who may have been the original grave digger from Hamlet. And it's possible that Yorick, as in Alas, Poor Yorick, is Yorick for Richard Tarleton. Because he was a very, very well-known comedian who really influenced generations of actors after that in his comic roles.
If we knew all the inside jokes that Shakespeare and his company
had, I know.
The plays would be twice as funny, even the tragedies.
There's a theory that the Joker on some original cards was sort of modeled after the image of Richard Tarleton.
The classic jester.
Yeah, the classic jester. So Ron is going to play a solo lute piece now called Tarleton's Resurrection.
Such an unwieldy-looking instrument, it certainly is lovely, isn't it?
So that was, again, Tarleton's Resurrection, a reference to Richard Tarleton, the jester, the clown in Hamlet. So there are three of us here from the Baltimore concert. The other three, we thought we would just play a track that features them, and actually only them. We have a soprano, Daniel Svanovec. Our cittern player is Mark Cittern, and our flute player, who plays Renaissance flute, is Mindy Rosenfeld. So we're going to give them a chance to be heard, even though they're not in the studio, with a song that is actually not in our program. It's called The Dark Is My Delight, but it's from a play called The Dutch Courtesan, and it's contemporary, roughly, with Shakespeare. So we can listen now to The Dark Is My Delight with Daniel Svanovec, soprano, Mindy Rosenfeld, flute, and Mark Cittern.
Yeah.
Mark Sudeck on Cittern.
That's
like James Soundpost.
He would probably appreciate it.
He would love that. That's
here
for you,
go.
Mark.
Dark is my delight.
Thank you.
trouble.
The Dark Is My Delight, with one of the members of the Baltimore Consort featured there.
Yeah, that would be Daniel Svanovic, soprano, Mindy Rosenfeld, flute, and Mark Sudek on the cittern, the three members who are not here in the studio. We'll play another tune for you live, and this is probably the most familiar tune to your listeners, maybe the most familiar tune from the Shakespearean era, and that is Greensleeves. We know it often today as What Child Is This? As a Christmas song, but it was a very popular ballad, and it's referenced a couple of times in the Shakespeare plays. In Merry Wives, Falstaff, everyone's favorite comic character, at one point bellows, "Let the sky rain potatoes. Let it thunder to the tune of Greensleeves."
Right, I remember that.
Now, there are a few things wrong with it. Just the idea of potatoes coming down from the sky. And also, Greensleeves can't really thunder. I mean, it's a very
quiet,
gentle,
soft, yeah.
soft piece. Mm-hmm. And to sort of bring that out in the program, we're using one of our exotic wind instruments called the Gemshorn, which is actually the horn of a wild goat. It gets a very soft, kind of like a bone flute-like sound.
How do you get different notes out of it?
Well, I wish we were PBS instead of NPR, because I could hold it up to the camera. But but it's really a horn that the holes are carved into it, much like a recorder.
So yeah, I mean, it looks just like a powder horn.
It looks like a powder horn, right? But it gets a very quiet sound like that.
Where do you get those?
You just sort of blow into this little hole here. Huh. So the mechanism's like a recorder.
Yeah.
And on some organs, you can find a Gemshorn stop.
No kidding.
As you can find a viola da gamba stop or a lute stop on harpsichord. So it kind of recreates the sound of Gemshorns. So Ron and I are going to let the heavens thunder with
Greensleeves.
Wow, I wish there were more.
There is more. If you come tomorrow night, you'll hear that's the beginning of a little suite of Greensleeves, because right at that point, Mindy joins in on flute. And then we go to a setting of Greensleeves. It's Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson.
The dad.
Yeah, the dad. Okay. For our plucked strings, and that features Ron. So it's a kind of nice little Greensleeves set. Not a thundering set, but a very gentle.
No potatoes.
No potatoes. Right. We did want to give you the sound of the full band, because you've gotten sort of twos and three samples of little bits of us. So we thought we would maybe end with a tune where we're all playing, called Shaking of the Sheets. Again, this won't be on the program tomorrow, but it's very typical of both the Baltimore Consort sound and popular music of the era. It's a ballad tune, Shaking of the Sheets.
the full-fledged force of the Baltimore Consort there with Shake the Sheet. So one sheet or plural sheets?
It's actually Shaking of the Sheets.
Shaking of the Sheets, to get it correct. Okay, well, thanks for joining me today for the midday. We've been hearing from Larry Lipkus and also Ron McFarlane and Mary Ann Ballard. They'll be playing with the full Baltimore Consort during the Early Music Festival.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, he said. And the festival goes on through
Saturday night.
So there's lots to enjoy. And again, thanks for being with me today.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Norman.